have five kids at whatever ages, and you need more space in your car for the stuff than you do for the people. Can I get an amen to that? Between the car seats and the diaper bags and the diapers and the strollers and the clothes and just, you know, it's, and oh, and Joshua left the Acacia Grove with all the Israelites. Okay, just connect there for a minute. If this is a million plus people, that's what we're talking about. They're leaving that place where they were camping. Family camp is July. Amy, family camp is July. No, I'm asking the question. No. She goes, you're right, there's family camp. No. July 17th. July 17th, you should have gotten your space. If you haven't, try. Family camp is in the Bible. That's why I mentioned it. Do we have a million campsites? They leave the Acacia Grove with all the Israelites. He leaves. And they went as far as the Jordan River. And they stayed there before crossing. Again, not only do I need to pause and really take this in, but I'm reminded that God really does have a sense of humor. When I think of my vacation trips and other planning, and the Bible records, Joshua records, and so they start moving, and then they come to the river, and they stop there. Now, I don't know how good their geography is, but I imagine there was a number of people that went, wait a second, there's a river here. Who planned this route? They come to the river, and then they stay there before crossing. I love that phrase, before crossing. Oh, what a loaded phrase. What is going on? Well, we're given one detail. After 3 days, what's happening in the 3 days? I think Joshua is in his tent with that table and desk and his advisors and his officers going, what are we going to do? I know this is what God said to do. I know this is where we're to go in. We're right where we need to be, but guys, I need some ideas. Come on, help me out. What are we going to do? They went as far as the Jordan, and they stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp. Why are they going through the camp? Because they've made a decision, and Joshua is given some direction, and they're moving through the camp, and they're commanding the people the following. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priest, you must break camp and follow it. Pause with me again. What's the last morning of family camp like? It's such a joy. There's high points at family camp for me, and it's the people, and it's sitting around the fire, and sometimes we have these worship times, and sometimes we have teaching, but it's just being with the people, and we're laughing, and we're fellowshipping and connecting. Oh, I wish that's how family camp ended. I wish we could just, at the end of the fire, whatever night, go, all right, see it all at home, and then all these, you know, Keebler elves just ran in, and they packed everything up, and then off we go, and we get home, and all of our stuff's put away. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priests, you must break camp and follow it. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between yourselves and the Ark. Don't go near it, so that you can see the way to go. It needs to be out a distance from you, 1,000 yards, 1,000 meters, 1,000 cubits, about the length, Numbers tells us, of a pasture. Just keep that distance, something they would recognize. Keep the ark out ahead of you. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go. For let me remind you of something that you're probably all thinking anyways. You haven't traveled this way before. This is new. This is unknown. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Purify yourselves. Because the Lord will do wonders. I like amazing things. God's going to, here's how Joshua would have wrote it in 2024. God's going to blow your socks off. We don't say it anymore, do we? I just realized I'm old. Purify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord is going to blow your socks off. He is going to do wonders among you tomorrow. And then he says to the priest, take the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people. Pause with me for a minute there. God had given Joshua instructions. He didn't just get it from his advisors. God had given him some instructions, and you can read about it in chapter 3. And he had shared with the priests. And the instructions were not much more than this. Just pick up the ark and go walk and step in the river. Really? All right, let me change my shoes. These are my good shoes. I don't want to ruin my shoe. No, that didn't happen. But that's all they get. This God move that's unfolding, the wonders that God is going to do. For the priests that are carrying the Ark of the Lord, it's go stand on the edge of the river, step into the river. Continue in chapter 3. They carried the Ark of the Covenant, that is the priest, from the Levite tribe, about 1,000 yards. And the Lord spoke to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so they will know that I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. Command the priests. Let's get this party started. Let's get this moment, this God move, moving. Let me show you exactly who I am. I'm going to do some wondrous things. I'm going to do some things for your leadership. I'm going to show the people who I am. Let's get started. Command the priests that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And when you reach the edge of the waters, tell them to stand in the Jordan." All right. Are you with them? Are you connecting with them? Are we tracking together? Okay. Here's a couple of thoughts. What is God doing? And the reason I want to point these out is because when I'm intentional and when I'm in tune with the Spirit of God, I see God doing this today. But I also recognize that I'm not always in tune with God. I'm not always paying attention to what God is doing. You know what I'm paying attention to is the news and my bank account and my health. You know, how many times I have to get up in the middle of the night and my kids and how they're doing spiritually. My mind is consumed with all kinds of things. And often I'm not recognizing that, one, God is always preparing his people for the next move that he wants to do. God's move, when he moves, it's never a surprise to him. It feels like it to us, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. Even if it's good. It's like, whoa, wait, hold, I wish I could have known about this yesterday and then been ready for today. But the truth is, all through the pages of Scripture, these three principles are seen over and over again. God is always preparing his people for the next move. Number two, he's always setting us up to take new territory. He's always doing the groundwork. In fact, we could even say that he's already finished the work. You see what I'm pointing at? Not the screen, okay? It is finished. Jesus has already done the work for victory. He's already done what's necessary for you and I to take new territory. You say, well, you're telling me that God has like a new house for me? He has some property? No, no. New territory for you and me is this right here and this right here. He has part of, can I just be bluntly honest with you as a broken brother? He owns big chunks of this, but there's parts of this that I'm still fighting with him for. There's still things in here that are fighting him, that I've allowed to be here, that are fighting with him. Remember Galatians 5, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit? Boy, the Spirit's done a work in me, and there's fruit of the Spirit that's being developed, but there's areas where the works of the flesh are still pushing back, and I need to take new territory. How about up here? Can I speak to the men for just a second? I don't care how old you are, guys, but what about up here? Can I just say that publicly, that we have a battle going on for up here? What I'm looking at, what I'm thinking about, what I allow from wants and desires and lust to dreams and thoughts. There's a lot of territory that God still needs to take up here and here. And here's what I believe is true, and it's emphasized in this text. He is always setting us up to take new territory. The tools are there. He's ready for us to take it. And that's what he's doing for these. They're going, okay, what I haven't mentioned this morning, remember this. They know that once they cross the Jordan and they skid over to the other side, do they know what's coming for them? Do you think they're scared? I would be scared to death. I got a family and kids. And we're going to go start conquering cities? People that have hundreds of years of warfare in their resume, and we were slaves for 400 years, and then we family camped for 40 years around the wilderness. And I'm telling you, there were no hookups. It was dry camping for 40 years, literally, until God provided water. And now we're going to be soldiers, we're going to be conquerors, we're going to rule this area, we're going to manage cities and build houses. As soon as we get across that river, we got to take it. They're not going to just lay down and say, here you go, here's the keys. God's setting them up. How's he setting them up? Did you hear what he said? Get ready, because I'm going to do something that's going to blow your socks off. Is that just so they go, hey, you know, he blew our socks off? No, he's preparing them to take new territory. That always happens in God in his moves. And finally, he gets them ready for victory. And we'll talk about that now, what that looks like, or in just a second. But let me do this first. I found this picture. In chapter 3, verse 15, the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. Why are we told that? We're told that because they're in that season. But as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still. Wow, God blew their socks off. Look at this. How hard would it be? Oh, it'd be so challenging for me to get my family across that. Oh, my goodness. Man, that's almost 4 inches deep. Look at that. Wow. But that's not what they were standing before. If you look up the Jordan River today, you'll get pictures like this. It's beautiful. And there's pools where John the Baptist baptized Jesus. And it varies. But you're like, that would be a great place for family camp. Kind of detecting a theme here about promotion for family. Okay. I think I'd like, let's look into that for next year. Let's camp in the Jordan River. But that's not what they stood before as they were told to go and step into the river. You want to see what they stood before? That is a current picture of modern times of when the Jordan River overflows its banks during the harvest. And so now I'm standing before this with Becky and my kids, Courtney, Brittany, Ashley, Tyler, and Lindsay, that are 9, 8, 6, 4, and 2. And I'm told that I need to cross that with all of my possessions and my children. Now, if I'm a Levite, if I'm a priest, what I'm told is, let your family take care of themselves, and your brothers and sisters will help them, and I want you to take the ark, and I want you to go up, and I want you to stand in that. And God says, trust me. When you do, when you stand in it, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? Literally, the water's going to stop on the above you, and it's going to start piling up, and the rest on that side will just go on down to the Dead Sea, and then you're going to walk across on dry land. Now, let's not forget, they've seen something similar before, right? Not most of them. Thank you, Master Pat. Everybody 20 years and older died in the wilderness. So everybody was either a teenager or a child or not yet born. They'd heard about it. We read the Word of God and we read and we go, oh man, that's amazing. And then we stand before our Jordan River that's rushing like that and God says, I'm going to do a wondrous thing. I'm going to blow your socks off. Go step in the river. I'll stop it. And you'll go across on dry land. yeah. I wouldn't have been first in line with my kids. I'm not a Levite, so I wouldn't have been one of those guys. I would have been watching really carefully to see if, in fact, this God, who had done amazing things, would continue to move in our lives, continue to move in our presence, continue to blow our socks off, continue to do wondrous things for us to know who he is. Can we pause here just for a minute? And I want to encourage you to capture. I want to give you three things that impacted my heart. And I encourage you to at least grab a hold of one of them. Write them down however you do it. Take a picture of the screen. We have this stuff called paper and pens. If you do that, use that. But let God speak to you in the next few moments. Number one, here's the lesson. Always be ready for God to move. Always. God forgive us, and we're all different places. I understand that. But let me just say corporately, God, please forgive us for getting so caught up in the needs of our life, the moment to moment. And we have needs. We do. Financial, health, relationship. We have things that we're carrying. But God, forgive us that we so often get in the thick of those things and trying to deal with those things that we forget that God is ready to move. He is ready to provide. He is ready to show us how wonderful he is, how powerful he is. And I'm oblivious to him getting me ready because I'm so caught up in the details of my life. The challenge to the people, they went out and they said, okay, pack up, get ready. Get your stuff together because we're going to move. And just like you and me today, they probably went, well, okay, give me more details. When are we going to move and what can we bring? What do we know? What's going to happen? What's the first leg of the trip going to be like? Do I need to dress for hot weather or cold weather? Just be ready. Just be ready, Sean. Just be ready, Kurt. Be ready for God to move. In fact, this is how it helps me. Look for it, expect it, live for it. Live for it. Wake up every day, every morning, saying, okay, God, what is in the way of me moving if you move today? Me moving with you. I want to live today ready for you to move. Number two, move where God moves. Don't just run around. Woo-hoo, I'm going to follow Jesus. You know, I'm sorry if some of you live that way. I didn't mean to look at anybody. I'll look at the sky. I'll look at the ceiling. But sometimes some of us are that spiritual chicken without a head, right? Run around. God says, be ready to move. Live like I'm going to move. But then when you see me move, you move with me. You move where I move. I'm going to use a bad word. Oh, wow, everybody's listening. Follow. That's a bad word for some of us. Come on. I don't need no stinking directions. Follow. If I'm a servant of God, if I am a child of God, and I'm going to live this year as for me and this house, one of the first things that God's going to challenge me with is, are you ready to follow me? Are you ready to go where I go? No, I kind of want to go there because, boy, that looks a whole lot easier. I'm ready to move with you. I expect you to move. Can we go there? Can we take this path? Can we take this way? And God just, in his grace and love, says, Kurt, will you follow me? I'm not going to give you the details. I'm not going to give you even the wins and the whys, but how it's going to happen. But will you follow me? Move where God moves. I loved it in our text, which we're not covering all of the third and fourth chapter, but if you read through it, you'll find, oh, I see a typo. Look at that. Joshua 33:3. Okay, that's the third word in the 33rd verse of the third chapter. No, that's a typo. As the Ark of the Covenant, reminding the people, Joshua uses this phrase, that this is about God's promises to us. This is happening. We're moving into the land. We're taking this territory because God promised Abraham hundreds of years ago that this would be our home. And he's keeping his promise. Do you remember what he said? Wait for the Ark of the Covenant to be out about 1,000 yards and then fix your eyes on the covenant. What is he saying? Fix your eyes on God's promises. Stop fixing your eyes on government or education or the economy or whatever it is that we think our help's going to come from, and let's fix our eyes on God's presence and follow him. He also refers to it as the Ark of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D. L-O-R-D. I'm tired and I misspelled. My editor in the front row, she caught it, but she didn't know what to do with me. The Ark of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, this is God's presence. This is the name that identifies him as eternal God and creator, and yet he's willing to be with us. He's willing to lead us, be present. So he's the God who keeps his promises. He's the God who's near and close. And then in chapter 4:16, the Ark of the Testimony. He uses a different word, which speaks of God's provision. What's the testimony? Does anybody, and it's up there, so don't look unless you're a cheater. What's in the Ark of the Covenant? Master Pat already knows. Because at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, we're talking about the five. How was that? More promotion. Good job. What's in the Ark? You can look. What's in the Ark of the Covenant? Can you read it? Say it out loud. Thank you. All testimonies to who God is and what he's doing in the lives of his people, how he has and how he will provide for them, protect them, identify with them. Isn't that good? No? Don't leave me up here all by myself. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the provision, of his provision. Be ready for God to move. Move where God moves. And number three, this is where rubber hits the road, friends. Make space for God to move. Make space for God to move. And I say, well, what do you mean make space? Well, the word that Joshua used was what? Consecrate. Purify. What does it look like for me to consecrate or purify my life? It means I need to move some stuff out. I need to get rid of some stuff. You come to me and say, hey, Kurt, I got a wood project. I want to do something. Can we work in your garage, and can we make this together? I know you got some tools. Can we do that? And right away, Mom, yeah, I'd love to, but wait. Can I give you a call? Okay, sure. And then I go home, and I go, oh, my goodness. You know, here's my garage. Well, there's that tool, and then there's that, and there's a pile of sawdust, and there's wood, and there's, I don't know what that is, where it came from, and there's, you know, and pretty soon, my garage is just, it's a mess. And before I can say yes to my friend and say, yes, let's build this, I have to make space for that to happen, for the work to happen. And what Joshua says to the people, what the Spirit of God is saying to you and me today, is you got to make space for God to move. How do I do that? You got to get rid of some stuff. You got to lay some stuff down. Remember the territory? Go back to the territory and say, okay, what needs to go? He's saying to those people, there's things in your life that don't belong there as God's people. And before we go any further, before we experience his move, you got to put some stuff down. You got to, when we move out of here, now when we leave family camp, there should be no trash. But when they left that grove of trees, there should have been a lot of trash. And by that I mean spiritual trash. There should have been a lot of idols and things that had no business being the lives of God's people. Consecrate yourselves. Purify yourself. Make space for God to move. Can we watch a video together? Can we do that? Okay, let's watch this.
And some blue Play-Doh. And a dime, Call Me, and Monkey Chow.
Monkey Chow? For what?
Well, for the monkeys, of course. Come on, monkeys.
That's it. I draw the line at monkeys. Get my agent on the phone.
Let's make some space for God to work in us. None of us are Mr. or Mr. Potato Head, but, you know, we put all kinds of things in our head and to our hearts, and it's just as silly as that. Can I get an amen to that? It's just as silly as that, what we fill our heads and our hearts with. And Joshua tells the people, God is speaking to us today. I believe this with all my heart. I want you to make space for my move. I want you to make space in your heart and your mind, in your life, in your time, in your talent, in your treasure, for me to do the move that I want to do. God's moves are always intentional, his moves are always providential, and his moves are always revelational. Those are big words just to say that God always does what is good, he does what's best, he does what's sovereign, he does what meets our needs and provides what's best for us, and his moves always reveal to us more of who he is and who we are to him. We sang about it this morning. Look at chapter 4, Joshua chapter 4, verse 20. This all happens. The instructions are given. One of the instructions that, well, I'll read about it here. We'll read it together. They do that. They go stand on the, and the water piles up just like God said it would, and they walk through. And one of the things that God says is, I want you to pick up 12 stones, and I want you, as you go through, one from each tribe, I want you to make an altar. I want you to make a memory, something you can look to. To remind you of this moment. Joshua has the idea to also get 12 stones and put them in the middle of the river where the Levites were standing. And so Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones that had been taken from the Jordan, and they set them up, and he says to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. Just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, he did it again, which he dried up there before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the people of the earth may know. If you're a highlighter in your Bible, this is what you want to highlight. This, all that we've talked about, this move of God, these 12 stones, it's all so that all the people of the earth. Does that include us? It does. Think about it. You say, well, I've never seen those stones. No, but we're reading about it today. And we're looking at it as God's word saying, this is for you. So that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. We need to celebrate God's moves. I pause because sometimes that's hard to do. We had an incredible moment yesterday celebrating our brother Dennis. Man, it was beautiful. I'm going to go with that word. It was encouraging. It was beautiful to see what God had done through that man's life. But Sue, was it hard? Yeah. It was hard. Does Dennis's life represent moves of God? It does. Did his going home to be with Jesus represent a move of God? Yeah, it does. Beautiful move for Dennis, but a hard one for us. Sometimes the way God moves and when he moves and how he moves, and we go, okay, he's preparing us, yeah, and I'm ready to move with him, and I'll go where he says to go, and I'm going to make space so that he has room to help me take new territory. He has room and space to transform me more into the image of Jesus. He has room to be my Lord, to be my King. I'm going to make space and let that stuff down. Okay, I'm ready. And then what flashes on the screen of our life is that raging river. And you go, wait, I did all that for this? Sometimes it's hard to celebrate. But do you see that God prompts his people to intentionally celebrate what he's doing? Take those 12 stones and you set up this marker for people. And then he says, tell your kids. Make sure you tell your kids. You know what's happening right now in our kids' groups? I don't know if they're in Joshua chapter. Oh, wow. Did we have a partial rapture? I literally looked over. Jeff was sitting there. I looked back and Pastor Jeff's gone. So I'm like, oh, no. If I confused anybody with that, come see me afterwards. I will speak clarity and truth. I'm not saying they're in Joshua chapter 3 and 4, but you know what's taking place in our kids' groups? They're being told about who God is, what he's done, and what he'll do for them. And as parents, grandparents, teachers, all of us, as we serve God, all of us need to be celebrating, talking about what God has done. Never assume that the person you're talking to knows who God is and knows what he's done, because they may not. And it may be that you're in their life, or it may be that this morning when we're singing, you say, you know, it doesn't make a big deal if I'm singing or not. Yes, it does, because the person next to you may not know what you're singing about. And if you're sitting there going, okay, yeah, the great I am. Wow, that's amazing. Hallelujah, that's amazing. What God has done. And it might be the person next to you. It's not a show. Please don't misunderstand me. It's not a show. You with me? Everybody still paying attention? It's not like, listen to me. The great I... It's not a show. But it is celebrating who God is. And the person next to you, all right, no, that's enough, stop, that's okay, stop. The person next to you may not know what he's done for you or in this world. And God says, I want you to celebrate. So Crossroads Church, members, attenders, new people, if you're a part of this family, let's celebrate God moves. Let's celebrate every time he does wondrous things, every time he blows our socks off. So every time when we gather on Sunday morning, you should be singing like he blew your socks off this past week, because he did. Whether you and I noticed or not, he did. And when you come to the table, or you go back to pray, or you just serve, you come in different ways and you're serving, celebrate. Do it as a celebration of how God's moved. Even when it's hard, God tells us here, and I stop with this, I end with this. He tells us why. Did you catch it in that last phrase? So that, two things God wants to happen in our celebrating. One, that he's remembered. You see that? Tell your kids, make sure that every time they see that pile of rocks, Daddy, what's that about? Oh, let me tell you. Let me tell you. See, God wants to be remembered. He wants to be known, and he wants to be remembered. What do you think this is? These tables, what we did earlier. That's Jesus saying, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I've done. And then celebrate it so other people know. Because the other thing that he wants is that he is revered. People are in awe of him. Not that the people just know him, but they would worship him. They would go, are you kidding me? God did what for you? There's every Sunday morning, there should be people in this gathering looking at someone next to them going, why in the world are they singing like that? What do they know that I don't know? Holy cow, they are excited. They sing terrible and they don't care. Now that's funny, but it's not funny, right? I mean, we know who we are. Are you with me? I don't want my goofiness to miss the point. Every week there should be people in this gathering that are looking at people and going, wow, what do they know that I don't know? They're celebrating. Why are these people coming up and eating this bread and this cup? Why are people going back and exposing their life to someone they don't even maybe know so they can pray together? Why do people show up here early and they make coffee? And why are the chairs straight this morning? Who did that? Who's with the kids? Who's making sure the doors are unlocked? Why are these people doing this stuff? Don't they know there's a football game today? You tracking with me? We got to celebrate God's moves. And we got to do it so that he's remembered. And maybe that's for us. Maybe that's for us. And we do it so that he's revered. He's worshiped.
Amen.
Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, you see the question on the screen, I know, but more importantly, you see the question in our own hearts. And you have permission to open your eyes if you need permission to look at the screen, see that question. God, you know the form that takes in each of our hearts. Am I really ready? Am I willing? Am I willing to follow you? Am I willing to go where you go? Am I even ready? Have I made space? Is my heart and mind, my life so cluttered, so filled with all those silly things that were put in Mr. Potato Head? God, I'm Mr. Potato Head. And all these things and just, ugh. God, you know each of our hearts. You know each of the state of our heart and our mind. You know every heart and mind here. Father, we need you. We've sang of it this morning. We need you. We need the great I am to work in us. For some of us, we could not sing all is well. Because it's not. You're not the Lord of our lives. For some here, maybe on the stream or here, even in this room, that can't say all is well. It's not well. I don't know who God is. I'm not sure if I believe that he's real. Or I believe that he's real, but I'm not sure he knows me or cares about me or has made a way for me to know you, Father, and you know the answer to that. That's why you sent your son, Jesus, so that we could know you. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift of life, the sacrifice of your life so that we might have life. If there's anyone here, God, wherever we're at, would you please meet us where we are? And for those that they're not sure of the things that I've already mentioned, that you would speak to them, you would lead them to someone in this room. You would draw them to yourself. Draw all of us to yourself. All of us have things that we need to respond to this morning. And God, we know, we acknowledge that it's your Spirit that makes that growth, that change possible. We can't do any of this on our own strength. So Father, help us to submit. Help us to surrender. Help us to bend the knee and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, so that we can follow you, that we can have our socks blown off by the amazing things that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.